The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
Achim Yekorim, we very much hope that we're nearing the end of this difficult time in Eretz Yisrael and around the world. Things seem to be getting better, especially in Eretz Yisrael. The numbers are down only a fraction of cases we had a month ago, we have today, and the government is easing restrictions. Baruch Hashem, yesterday they said we're opening shuls again. Yesterday I spoke with a group of Rabbonim, Choshev Rabbonim in New York. Seems to be getting better there as well, even though they're still behind. And there still are many people that are ill, some in our communities as well, but in the entire world, the picture seems to be brighter than it was. And we daven to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shashem Yazor, V'yeshmor V'yagen V'yatzil. But it'll be a great mistake to think that it's over. It's not over. And the virus is still active, and it is still with us, so we still need to be very, very cautious and follow all the rules of the health authorities. So maybe this year will be the last Corona year. Halavai. Maybe we'll still have some Dina Momenis issues to deal with, but I very much hope that this will be the last of this special series of Shiurim dealing with different aspects of this pandemic. So last week I spoke about the level, the degree of responsibility that a person bears not to infect others, not to transmit the disease to others, and if he did so, does he bear liability? And I just shared a shaila with you, probably the most painful shaila I dealt with in this entire period, when a person turned to me and he feels that he brought about indirectly the demise of a Jew. Person working in a nursing home, one of his family members had COVID-19, had Corona, but he felt well and he took all the precautions, wearing a mask and keeping 2 meters away from others, even 3 meters. But after a few days, he fell ill, and what's far worse, some of the people in the institution fell ill, and one of them died. So we could never know with certainty that he is the one to blame, because some other people working in the facility also came down with Corona. But brokenheartedly, he turned to me. What is it he needs to take upon himself, and how could he guarantee mechila slicha v'kapora? So I just shared the story with you, but I did not share what my tshuva was. And many people turned to me throughout the week, and they are very eager to know. So what was the tshuva? Why do you give us a shaila without giving us the tshuva? The reason I gave the shaila is because I thought it was just important to know that this could happen. But so many people wanted to know what my response was, so I will share with you my response. And this opens up a fascinating sugya. The sugya of tikkunei tshuva. We know that according to the Rambam and many other Rishonim, it's a mitzvah to say to do tshuva. If you did an aveda, you gotta do tshuva. Some argue that according to the Rambam, tshuva is a privilege, it's not an obligation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity to do tshuva, but if you choose not to do, don't. But bear the consequences. My opinion, as I made very clear in Minchas Osher Chumash Devorim, everybody agrees that tshuva is a chiyuv, not only a mitzvah, a chiyuv. But that's not the topic we will be discussing today. What I want to discuss is the concept of tikkunei tshuva. when a person is over an Aveda, besides crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asking for forgiveness, expressing profound regret and remorse, does he need to take upon himself Yisurim? Does he need to fast? Three times in Shulchan Aruch we find this concept in the Ramah. Shein Lamed Dalet Siv Chavav regarding Chilul Shabbos. The Ramah says if you are Machal Shabbos B'Shogeg, you need to fast 40 days for each Chilul Shabbos. We move on to Yoredeya. Kuf Chav Gemel Siv Chavav B'Shogeg, if you drank Yayin Nesach, you need to fast 5 days. Instead of 40, he's down to 5. Kuf Pehei Siv Dalet in Yoredeya. Hilchas Neda. If you're a nichshal bebias nida b'shoigeg, shoots up to 40 days again. 40 days. Where do these numbers come from? 40 days for chilul Shabbos, 40 days for bias nida, 5 days for yayin nesach. These numbers come from Sefer HaRokeach, taking us back almost 1,000 years. So the most explicit source in the concept of tikkun etshuva is Sefer HaRokeach. We also find it in Sefer Hasidim. But Sefer HaRokeach twice, Hilchos Teshuva and at the end of Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, has a very, very detailed list. How many tzomos do you need to fast on various different avedas? And the Ramah, 3 times in Shulchan Aruch, nowhere in the Beis Yosef. So Gedolei Sfarad weren't into this. We do find that Yisurei Mamarkem Avoinei Shel Odom, and Yomed Av Peivav, Dalet Chelukei Chapora, so chai v'koras, chai v'mises beis, neina meskaplam elo al yedei yisurim. But the pshat in the Gemara is yisurim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you l'chaper oven. But do we find in the Gemara that a person needs to take upon himself yisurim and inflict pain on himself or fast l'chaper oven? We do. We actually do. I remember at least one source, and that's in Kiddushin Daf Pei Aleph Amid Beis. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi was nichshal behirhurei aveira. He didn't actually do anything. He didn't act out what he just had a taiva. And when he came home, he went into a burning furnace to just inflict pain on himself. So I think that is probably the earliest source. But we do not find in the Svarim of Gedolei Sfarad a detailed list and system. How many days do you need to fast to atone for different avedas? But we do find that in Gedolei Ashkenaz, the great Kabbalist, the Makubolim of Gedolei Ashkenaz, as I quoted, and we find it 3 times in Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. And when a person unintentionally, Bishoygig, brought about the demise of another person, the poiskim are machmir yoisa. So in the Ramo we find it regarding Chilul Shabbos, Bias Nida, and Yayin Nesach. But in Sefer HaRokeach he writes that a person brought about the death of another person, he needs to fast 40 days, and he needs to take upon himself golus, exile. And for an entire year, he needs to leave his home. He needs to be na v'nad ba'oretz, and not sleep 2 nights in the same bed. Which means he needs to leave his home, roam the cities and towns incognito, and every night look for somewhere else to sleep, an additional yesurim and segufim which he takes upon himself. So, all the averes shebenodem lamokoyim, if you're over b'shoigig, you're all familiar with the halach. You bring a korum chatas and that's it. You say vidui and a korum chatas and that's the end of it. But a hoireg nefesh b'shgogo is chayev golus. And the Sefer HaChinuch explains in Mitzvah Tov Yud, because hoireg nefesh is a bigger avera than all the others. And it thinks it makes so much sense. It makes so much svora, because Averi Shebenodem Lamokoyim, it happened. I meant no evil. I had no bad intentions. So HaKadosh Baruch is Meichel V'Saleach. If you brought about the death of a person, you had no bad intentions. But that is a life you could never bring back. And that is why you're Chayav Golos. Mincha Sosha Masechet Makas Samelamed Dalad. I dealt with the Marsha, Yudo Mitbeza Masechet Makas. The Marsha says that Golos, Hoyring Nefesh Bishgogo, has nothing to do with Kapora. It's all about just safeguarding the Ritzeach from the Goyal Adam. He goes to the Iyam Miklot in Golos, and the Goyal Adam can't hurt him. But that's against the Gemara and Makas Beis Omid Beis, and it's against Toysus and Makas Yudalef Omid Beis. So Pashtus Advorim, Sefer Achinuch is right. Hoyring Nefesh Bishgogo is in a far worse situation than a person that was Chal Shabbos Bishoigig, or Bor Anida Bishoigig. And if the Poiskim, the Ashkenazi Poiskim, are Machmir, even Be'averisha Benodam Lemokoim Bishoigig, Shetzorech Tikunim, Kal V'choimer, Ben Beno Shel Kal V'choimer, when a person brought about the demise, the death of another person, even though he had no bad intentions. So let's just look around and see how the Gedolei HaDoros, how the great sages of every generation dealt with these questions. And I want to bring about six or seven sources before we wrap it up and summarize the sugya. And I'll share with you what my psak was at the end of the day. Tshuvas Maharivayel, going back 650 years, Maharivayel was a Talmud of the Maharil. And a Simakuv Chav Hei, the Maharivayel brings that a person sent one of his workers, an agent, to deliver something, to do something for him. And the person died in the way. And this could happen. It could happen. There was a car accident. So the balabos that sent him in no way is to blame. It just could happen any day, any time, to anyone. But Marie Weil, Rabbi Yankov Weil says, but he was your shaliach, and you sent him on this fateful journey, and therefore you need a kapor. Chubas Marie Weil, Simakuf Chof Hei. He brings a raya from Sanhedrin Tzadikei Omed Aleph. Tzemach Tzedek, Simen Vav, rejects the raya. But the psak of Marie Weil is, he needs to fast 40 days. 40 days. That's based on Sefer HaKeach. 40 days is a magic number of Tani Yislacha Perovin. I quoted two times the Yoredeya and Orachaim that are more 40 days for Chil Shabbos and for Bias Neda. So Marie Weil Paskins 40 days and Tzedakah. And if the person who lost his life is his family, is in need, support his family. And that's your kapora. That's Tshuvas Maharivayel Weil. Tzemach Tzedek. There are two very well-known sforim with the same name, Tzemach Tzedek. The later Tzemach Tzedek is the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rebbe Menachem Mendel, who was one of the greatest gedolim of his time. And the Divrei Chaim calls him one of the greatest gedolim of our time. But I am quoting the earlier Tzemach Tzedek, who lived 200 years before the second Tzemach Tzedek. Simavav, Simen Tzadik Gimel. And a Tzadik Gimel is a lengthy tshuva. And he deals with a tragic story which he describes in great detail. So a person went out on his way to do some business with a young boy that was working for him. It was the middle of the winter. And it was a tragic mistake because it was snowing, it was very cold and very windy, but nevertheless they went on their way. On the way back, it was nightfall, and it became even colder and even windier, and the snow became heavier. And they had great difficulty, and they were freezing. On the way home, they just knocked on the door of a Gentile, of a non-Jew, just to ask him for rachmonis, if he could take them in. And he was very nice to them. He took them in, and they drank some hot tea or whatever it is. And he offered them to stay overnight till the storm would be over. Tragic mistake number two. And the person decided, no, we're going to try to get home. We're going to make it. And they left his home on their way. In the middle of the way, the young boy said, I don't have any koyach. I can't go on. Leave me here. Go get some help. Maybe tragic mistake number three. He left the lad there. He left the boy there. And he barely made it home. Probably he was delirious when he got them. And he couldn't describe to the people exactly where he left that boy. They looked for him, but they didn't find him. By the time they found him the other day, he was no longer amongst the living. So this person asked for a kapora from the Tzemach Tzedek. So on one hand, the Tzemach Tzedek says, you're not to blame. What could you do? You didn't mean bad. Well, he didn't mean bad, but I think he made more than one tragic mistake and bad judgment. But the psak of the Tzemach Tzedek is based on Marivail. He brings Marivail. You need to fast 40 days. But you also need to fast first year every Sheni B'Shabbos. Besides the 40 days, Sheni B'Shabbos for the entire year. And all his life, he needs to fast the Sesim in Tshuva, Bahab, and Yom Kippur Kotel. That's quite a harsh psak. I think it's justified because this person had a young boy with him. He should have been more responsible. I think his conduct was probably reckless. But that's the psak of the Tzemach Tzedek. Tshuvas HaRama, going back 500 years. I didn't know they had guns in the days of the Rama. Very primitive guns that used firepower and lead balls. And the Rama describes a person that was sitting in a wagon and a young boy was out there in the front taking care of the horses. And he played with his gun and unintentionally he shot the boy in the head and the boy died. And the Rama once again says, didn't mean any bad, but he brought about the demise of a person and therefore he needs tshuva 40 days and the chiddush we find in the Rama every year from now till the end of his life. And that day in which this tragic event happened and he caused another person to perish, he needs to fast that day till the end of his life. Besides 40 days that he needs to take upon himself to fast. Panama Irois, fast forward more than 100 years. Panama Irois, Chelak Aleph Siman Pei Hei, Tshuvas HaRamos and Siman Lamed Zayin, Chelak Aleph Siman Pei Hei. And in the days of the Panama Irois, once again, a firearms accident. And this happens. It's tragic, reckless, but it happens. It happened many times in Israel. People were playing with a gun. So number one, pull the trigger, nothing happened. Number two, pull the trigger, nothing happened. Number three, pull the trigger, and he killed one of his friends. That's the story in the Ponami Irois. And once again, the Ponami Irois says, he's an Oines, what could he do? His two friends did the same and nothing happened. Well, today we know how careful one needs to be with firearms. It's quite common that people ask me, should I buy a gun or not? And recently about 20 people asked me in America, after these anti-Semitic events and attacks in shuls, so many people turned to me, should I buy a gun? And my response is usually, statistically, more people die from friendly fire. And I don't mean friendly fire in warfare. More people die within the family from accidents than terrorists that are shot by private people that have guns. So what I usually say, if you're really responsible and you're not a mishuganer and you are a responsible person that cares for his family and you know how to handle a gun, I think yes. You might just have the schus to be at the right time, in the right moment, in the right place to save Jewish lives, to save lives in general, and to kill a terrorist, especially in Israel, when terror attacks are far more common than in America. But anyway, accidents with guns, to our dismay, are common. And people need to know the awesome responsibility if you have a firearm. So that's the story in Tshuva Salomo. That's the story in Tshuva Pona Meiris, Remeya Eisenstadt, going back 350 years. And the Pona Meiris, once again, brings the Ramo, and he says, every year that day, 40 days, year number one. And now this brings us to two fascinating tshuvas. Each of them is a gevaldig chiddush, one lekula and one lechumra. And these tshuvas are the greatest gedolim of their generations, the Maharshal and Maharam Melublin. You probably all know the Maharsham and the Maharam Melublin are neighbors. Well, they weren't really neighbors. The Maharshal didn't live close to the Maharam Melublin, but they're neighbors in the Vilna Shas. So the Maharshal is on top, and the Maharshal and the Maharam are right next to each other. Tshuvas Maharshal Semen Tzadik Zayin. A lengthy story. And as the story is told, a young Jewish boy started up with some goyim. He did something to offend them, and they were chasing him to beat him up. And Reb Moshe Lipschitz happened to be there. He wasn't part of what happened, of the event. He happened to be there, and he was afraid that the goyim might kill that young Jewish boy. So he intervened, and he told them, leave it to me, I'm going to punish him. He did a terrible thing he shouldn't do, and leave it to me. I'm going to take care. And they agreed. So Reb Moshe Lipschitz was chasing that boy. I don't know how old Reb Moshe Lipschitz was, but he wasn't getting very far, and the boy just outran him. And the goyim were there. So Reb Moshe Lipschitz turns to those goyim that were hurt, and he told them, you go catch the boy and bring him to me. Probably it was a mistake. And they chased him, and he ran away, and he fell to his death. And Reb Moshe Lipschitz came to ask, Ma kaparosi, ma tmurosi, ma chalifosi, what am I supposed to do? Indirectly, without any bad intentions, in a way he was involved, and he brought about the death of that boy. So the Mashal first writes, you are not to blame. Reb Moshe had good intentions. He did the right thing. He wanted to save that boy and not to hurt him. And therefore he's an oynes, oynes lechmona patre. The Mashal also writes an interesting argument, and he writes, we want people,
Kol Halashon,
to take the initiative. We want people to mix in. We want people to try to save one another and to care for one another. So if you see goyim chasing a Jew, you should try to do something, and we don't want to scare them away. And therefore, Mishum Tkonas HaShovim, Ein Lahachmir Olav. So surprisingly, regardless of the Marivayel, and the Sefer HaRokeach, and the Ramo, well, the Ramo was a Ben Doiri of the Mashal, they were the same, they were contemporaries. But regardless of all the others, the Mashal writes, he needs no kapura whatsoever. Forget it. No kapur, which is interesting because, in a way, I don't know whether Reb Moshe was irresponsible, but in retrospect, maybe he went too far to tell the goyim, chase him and catch him and bring him to me. That's the story. Maharam Melublin was about 50 or 60 or 70 years younger than the Maharshal, Semen Mem Dalad. A different story. So the story is about a Gadol BiYisrael, a great Talmud Chochem. Besides, his name was Rabbeinish, and we know nothing about him. But he gave a psak regarding a youngster. And a relative of that youngster came to the Rav's house, to the Dayan's house, just to speak on his behalf and try to explain to the Rav, maybe there's room for more leniency, and he just came to talk to the Rav. The Rav looked out of the window and he saw him approaching, and he became hysterical and he was afraid. He thought the person was coming to hurt him or his family. So we don't know who that person was. Maybe he was a bully. Maybe he was, you know, a violent person. We wouldn't know. But as the story is told in Shuvas Maram Lublin Sebemem Dalad, the Rav was terrified, so he locked the door, and he tried to schlep a very heavy cabinet to put it behind the door. The person shouldn't be able to break into his house. And obviously the cabinet fell on him, and he was injured, and after a few days he died. And the person that was on the way to the Rav's home once again asked for a kapora. Maram Lublin quotes the Mashal. And the Mashal writes, he's an oynis, and he deserves no punishment, and he needs no kapora. And what's surprising is that the Maram quotes the Mashal, and afal pi ken, the psak of the Maram is quite surprising and quite harsh. And the psak of the Maram Lublin is 10 things he should do for kapara. Quite a harsh list. So after the Maram quotes the Mashal, and the Maram writes, he's an oynis and he's potter. If I need to judge these two stories, I think Reb Moshe Lipschitz bears far more responsibility than Pliny Almoini that just was walking to the Rav's house, and all he wanted was to talk to him and to plead with him. So the Mashal is extremely lenient, and he says he needs no kapora. Maram Lublin quotes the Mashal, but he also quotes Mari Vail, and this is his psak. Just take note. He needs to fast 40 days of Ritzufim, which means 40 consecutive days, excluding Shabbos and Yom Tov. 40 days Bezeach Hazeh, which means you eat by night, but you fast every day. After that, 3 days every week for the first year. 3 days. That means a half a week for the entire year. And the night before the fast, lo yishte yayin v'lo yoichel basar, like an oinein. Number 3, he should sleep an entire year without a pillow besides Shabbos and Yom Tov. Weekdays, he should sleep without a pillow. Number 4, he shouldn't wash his body or his head for the entire year, only once a month. Quite tough, especially the way we live today. For an entire year. Number 5, which we would find very repulsive and intimidating. He needs to lie on the floor in the entrance to the shul. When people come and when people leave, they should step on his body as they enter the shul and as they exit. If I would be in that shul, I would just try to hop over his body, because the Maram Lublin could paskin that he needs to lie on the floor, but he didn't paskin that we have a mitzvah to trample over his body. I wasn't there. I don't know how many people davened in the shul and how big they were, but it could be life-threatening. So that's number 5. He needs to lie on the floor, and people will step on his body when they go in and when they go out. First year, his seat should be ma'achorei deles beis haknesses, and that is just to humiliate him. And that's part of his tikkunei tshuva. Once a month, he needs to visit the cemetery and go to the kever of the Rav, whose demise he brought about indirectly with a minyan, and ask for mechila, slicha, v'kapora. The entire year, he shouldn't go to any simcha, any suda, even a suda's mitzvah. No trips, no fun for the entire year. First 3 years, he should fast bahab, and 5 years, he should drink No alcoholic beverages besides Shabbos and Yom Tov B'Kiddush V'Avdolah. Every Monday, Bitzino Nad Befaresi, the Shamish should give him Malkus, Malkus Lamedes. Quite a harsh judgment. So of all the stories, we find Tzemach Tzedek, Ponim Iris, Ramah, Marshal. I think Dafkin, the story of the Maram Lublin, the person wasn't to blame at all. We don't know the background. We don't know why the Rav was so frightened. Was it called for or not? We don't know. But the person meant no harm, just came to speak to the Rav. And the Mashal was, and the Maram was aware of the truth of the Mashal, so I don't know why he's so machmir, but that's the psak of Maram Lublin. So, before I say what my psak was, I just think that when we learn all these tshuvas, we could appreciate and understand how chomer it is to bring about in a totally indirect way, without any bad intentions, the demise of a person. And I think it just brings to mind how careful we all need to be in this period. So I think when people don't distance themselves from the tzadik and they don't wear masks, and it's an awesome responsibility, because you might bring about the demise of a person. And you will never know about it. If you would know about it, you would go to a rav. You would lay on the floor every day in the morning, three times a day, and people will trample over your body. If you would know about it, you would fast 40 days b'zachar zeh. But you might never even know about it. Shalom alei nafshi. And you're going to have fun. And you're going to go to the park. And you're going to have a hell of a good time. And you will never know that a family is bereaved. And they lost a loved one. Maybe they lost a provider out of your recklessness. So just come to think of it. I shudder when I just say it. So this once again, I think it's needless to say that we need al pi Torah to follow the rules. Follow the rules. So the government in Israel said we could go back to shuls, but you know, I'm a big machmer in Pikuach Nefesh, and I question the halachic judgment of Misrad HaBriyot. I wouldn't rely on them in Hilchos Shabbos or in many other halachas, and I think they're not enough machmer in Pikuach Nefesh, but nevertheless. Yes, we'll be happy to go back to shul. We'll be happy. We miss the shul. And the shul will be happy to see us, believe me. Our shuls miss us, and the yeshivas miss us as much as we miss them. But we will adhere to all the rules and all the precautions. And if the government says you need 2 meters between one person and another, I will demand 3 meters. So, when we learn this sugya, and we learn the tshuvas of the Gedolim, we see most of them were machmir b'yoisa. Even in a case in which the person did nothing wrong, but you brought about the demise of another person. So my psak halacha l'maaseh regarding the story I told you was twofold. So if the person that brought about the infection of others, and he transmitted this virus to others, but he was a oines gamur. He wasn't supposed to be in isolation. He wasn't aware that he carries the virus. He wasn't supposed to be aware. No one in his family was ill. And it is only in retrospect that he fell ill, and probably he transmitted the virus to others. He still needs somewhat of a kapara. It's no different than Mahari Vile or Maram Melublin. But in later generations, Gedol Yisrael taught us that we need to focus and stress more on the positive aspects of Tikkuni Tshuva. Not on fasting, not on Sigufim, not on Golus. Torah, Tefillah, and Tzedakah. But nevertheless, Poto Beliklum Yefshar, I would say he should fast every Erev Rosh Chodesh and say Yom Kippur Kot. If he has difficulty fasting, v'yesh v'ze bitul malechas shomayim, and he can't learn properly, or daven properly, he should fast till after chatzos. Say Yom Kippur Kot. If he was irresponsible, like the question that I presented at the beginning of today's shiur and the last year, a family member was ill. He shouldn't have gone to work, but he did. He didn't mean bad, but he bears more responsibility. He should have been more careful. In that case, I say he should fast Erev Rosh Chodesh first year. Even if it's difficult, he should be mashlim the tzayim. Every year, he should fast on that sad day, on that tragic day in which he brought about the death of another person. All his years, on that day, should be makabel al atzmai tzayim. He should give tzedakah and learn Torah le'ilui nishmosoi. That's his tikkun. Should give tzedakah. If his family is needy, support the family. And he should learn and daven le'ilui nishmosoi. I also think that bedover shekilkel yitakin. I think he should be makbid and bikuchoylem, nichum aveilem, support hatzola, be oisik and hatzolas nefoshes, and that once again is a tikkun for the chait of Ibud Nefesh. So just a few words about the entire concept of Tikkuni Tshuva. I mentioned at the beginning of the shiur, it is something that we find in Chassidei Ashkenaz. Shulchan Aruch the Bais Yosef doesn't bring it anywhere. We do find in Simen Tov Kuf Samaches, Shulchan Aruch, that Gimel Yomim Ritzufim is Shokol Keneged Arboam Taniyos. But it's not clear in the Bais Yosef, what are those Arboam Taniyos? Is that associated with the Sefer HaRakeach, Boyal Nideh, Machal Al Shabbos? Only the Ramo there says he's Machalek between Arboam Taniyos that a person stamped took upon himself or Taniyos of Tshuva. And the Bais Yosef, it's not clear. So maybe the Shulchan Aruch means Arboam Taniyos if a person just made a neder, he's going to fast 40 days. So when the Rambam, we have Asorah Prokem, 10 Prokem in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam doesn't mention that a person should inflict pain and suffering on himself. He doesn't mention that he needs to go in Golas or fast. Definitely doesn't mention how many days he needs to fast for every Aveira. So my understanding of this halacha is, Yesurim are not part of the process of Tshuva. It is external. It's beyond Tshuva. And the Sefer HaRakeach, who is the father of this concept, Avu Hoindekulu, explains that there are two different concepts, Tshuvas HaTorah and Tshuvas HaMishkal. And I'll try to briefly explain the essence of these ideas. Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYokayim, and Oyver Aveiru was punished. Not for Bitul Mitzvah Sasei. Bitul Mitzvah Sasei, all he has to do is tshuva. But Lavin, there is punishment, either Malkus or Mises Beis Din. So when a person takes pain upon himself, either by fasting or different methods, the idea is, instead of the pain that you would need to suffer, if there would be a basin that's done din and nefoshes, you take upon yourself different forms of pain, zeh keneged zeh, and that's lechaper mina einish. The other idea that the Sefer HaKeach explains, he defines as tshuvas hamishkal, which means, why do people do avedas? Because they can't control and overcome the Yetzirah. So, Macholas Asura is Isurei Bia, is because you have a taiva, and you are attracted to pleasure and delight. So, keneged the pleasure you derive from an aveda, you take upon yourself suffering to itzeh keneged zeh. So, it is as if you have a balance sheet. You stole $100, you'll pay $100. So, holach achar shrirus liboy, and you are nanem in arayis macholas asurei, so you take upon yourself pain and suffering to atone for the delight and pleasure you derived from an aveda. So according to the Rekeach, these are the two fundamental principles and concepts about inflicting pain on oneself and fasting. So it's not really part of the process of tshuva, it's just like a kapara minu einish, and that is why the Rambam doesn't deal with the sugya hilchos tshuva, and neither do most of the Rishonim, especially the Sephardi Rishonim, that wrote huge sforim about hilchos tshuva, but they don't deal with the concept of tikkuni tshuva, which are based on inflicting pain and suffering upon oneself. So I think this is a very interesting concept that we do find in the Poskim and the Halacha throughout the ages. And if there's any real ta'elus in today's shiur, it is once again just to impress upon people, people should understand how grave this responsibility is, and to what extremes, and how a person needs to be careful and not reckless. So on my way to the office of Kol HaLashon, where I am sitting right now, and I once again express my thankfulness to Kol HaLashon for being this amazing platform to teach Torah to so many people. But on my way here, I was terribly dismayed to see many more people without masks out in the street. And I think there's this feeling as if it's over. It's no longer here. And that's a terrible mistake. B'derech HaTeva, there might be a new wave and a new massive outbreak. Let's hope not. You know, I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing us miracles in Eretz Yisrael. When we see what's happening in New York, in New Jersey, in London, in France, and in Madrid, and you know, Rabbonim from the entire world and lay people from the entire world have been calling me, and I hear what's happening in other places. Well, we could offer different type of analysis and explanations, but I really feel it's Eretz Asher Einai Hashem Elokechu Bo Mereis Hashanu Adach Lashanu. We have tremendous Yata Dishmaya, but Ein Soimcha Malaneis, Ein Soimcha Malaneis. And therefore, I plea with people in Eretz Yisrael, in America, in everywhere. I know in America there are many minyanim, basement minyanim, and that's the worst thing they could do, is basement minyanim. And I think it's a terrible mistake. The disease is with us, and the virus is still active. So, Baruch Hashem, the matzav is much better. But probably it's better because we locked ourselves up and we distance ourselves one from the other. So please, 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 what else could I do besides plea? Take careful. Take all the necessary precautions. Comply with the rules. So Baruch Hashem, society is opening up. I hope in America, because of the authorities will enable to have minyanim, to come back to shuls, but as is obvious from all the sources we learned today, it's a huge achrayis. And if chas v'sholem a person brings about the death of another, without any bad intentions, not directly but indirectly, it's a huge responsibility. So we don't want to fast not 40 days, not 50 days, not 60 days. We don't want to lie on the floor. We don't want to sit outside the shul behind the door. But we do want to know that we are Mar B'chaim and not Chas V'Sholem, the contrary. So take care, follow the rules, and we should bezercha b'korav to be Mar B'tzteire b'yeshiva, to be Mar B'tzteire b'bote knesiyos, and Shekodesh Baruch Yerachem Aleinu. Next week is Kabbalah Satoira. I hope we will be able to be Makabel Torah b'yachad, Yachad Shifti Yisrael, b'simcha, b'chedva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us only Rachamei Shemayim, and we should be zoicha to see Pnei Moshiach Tzidkenu b'mheiru v'yomeinu. Amen.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.